So it's just before Shavuos and Matan Torah, and there were a couple of Torahs that I wanted to learn, and one of them is, the first is from the Kol Simcha, from Reb Simcha Bunim of Pshischa, the Rebbe Rabbinim, and it's actually to be found in Bamidbar, in the Sedra of Bamidbar. So he brings a Medrash Tanchuma. It's a famous Medrash, Moshel Lenosi Yishmoel. So it talks there about the argument that's going on between the Jewish people and God, and the Jewish people say, well, you know, you destroyed my house, and we don't want to have anything to do with you. And God says, the Medrash quotes a pasuk from Yirmiyahu Anovi, says, "Miyiten li bamidba meloin orchim, who would give me in the wilderness a hotel, a caravan sarai? For as with Ami, I would just abandon my people and I would just go there." So the Medrash goes on to say, "Moshel Lenosi Yishmoel," parable of this Arab prince, "Shenichnas leMedina." He enters with his army, whatever, he comes into this Medina, he comes into this city. V'ro'o oise b'nei Medina baruchu. So the people see him, they run away. Nichnes l'shniya u'baruchu. So he comes in another city, and everybody runs away. Nichnes l'ir achach reva. Then he comes into this ruined. The place is ruined. Probably after some army has been through there, the Persian army or the Roman army, whatever. And now he comes in and the place is in ruins. And what happens? Ro oisoi, the people who are living in the ruins, they see this Arab prince. His chilum kaltsin oisoi, so they start praising him. Omar nos yishmo, so the Arab prince says, Zuho ir toivu hi mikol medinas. This ruin is better than all those big cities. Kanani boinachsanya, here's where I'm going to build my palace, my dwelling place. Kanani dar, here I'm going to live. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to the sea, it ran away from him, like it says, Aram yo vayonos. And then he came to Har Sinai, and everything ran away. He comes to the Midbar, he comes to the wilderness, and there start to praise him, or the wilderness itself starts to praise him. So God says, you know what, I'm going to live here, this is when I'm going to make my dwelling place. And so Vayidab Hashem Moshe b'midbar Sinai, so God speaks to Moshe in the Midbar. So the Rebbe Rabbunim says, what's the pshat in this Medrash? What on earth is it talking about? Hamam hazeh b'di, this whole Medrash, he says, like, pretty astonishing. So he says, he learns that God comes to the sea doesn't mean that the sea ran away, but that the impression that we got of the miraculous disappeared. It disappeared. Once we'd been there a few days, you know, at the time we thought, oh, the Hisaris, these amazing miracles God did for us. We'll never forget it. We'll always carry with us the impression that we had of the... Anyway, 3 days later, we're already asking, what did God do for me today, right? And then Sinai, you know, we all know that we were there at Sinai, but it's very hard to get in touch with the Sinai experience. It's very hard for us, after all these thousands of years, to, you know, put myself back there, and like I'm standing in front of the mountain, and the feeling, the awe, and the feeling of specialness, and the feeling of being at a once, not in once in a lifetime event, but a once in a universe time event, right? Once in a cosmic time event. Mamad HaSinai, we're all standing there, millions of people, and God is speaking to us out of the fire and the cloud, and every time God speaks, we die, and then, you know, he has to revive us, and that experience of trembling and the mountain being held over us, and Moshe Yedaber, Moshe speaking, Velekim Yanenu, and God is answering this. I mean, we can imagine what it was like, right? Except that when I walk down the street every day, I can't imagine what it was like. I don't remember Mahmud Hasinai. It's not the... it's like the equivalent of Kriyas Yamsuf. You know, if I stop and I think about Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the Red Sea, I can imagine it and what awesome night that was, you know. But can I put myself into the feeling of awe and the appreciation of the miraculous? No, I can't. I can read about it, think about it, but I can't really experience it again. Except on a special occasion, maybe. So, the Rebbe Rabbinim says that's the meaning of this medrash. God says, you know, there's the miraculous, there's the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the Red Sea, and I would like to be there, but you know what? It doesn't exist for you, it's just a story. So, I would like to be in Matan Torah, says God. I would like to be there in the giving of the Torah, but that's also not real for you. So you know what? The Midbar, the wilderness. Because the Torah is called Midbar. This is the Chiddush of the Rebbe Rabbunim. You know what the wilderness, you know what the true wilderness is? The true wilderness is the Torah. It's wild. It's destroyed. There's nothing there. If you live in the Torah, you can find me. If you make the Torah part of your life, and that you can do, because that you can do everywhere, at any time, all the time. Doesn't matter who you are. B'stayid, you have access to the Torah. And nobody can tell you what the Torah is. You decide what the Torah is. But if you go into the Torah and you own the Torah and you live in the Torah, then you find God there. Because God said, this is where I'm going to dwell. Because you don't have to put yourself into a special frame of reference in order to access the Torah. The Torah will adapt itself to your frame of reference because that's the nature of the Midbar. It doesn't have a pattern. The Midbar does not have a pattern. It doesn't have a map. It's not laid out in a certain way. It's Midbar. It's wilderness. And if you want, and if you live in the wilderness, truly in the wilderness, then God is right there. And there, all the miracles are right there. The Yamsuf, the splitting of the Red Sea, is right there. And Mahmud HaSinai, that day of Matan Torah, is right there whenever you want. Okay? You can have access to it. God says, this is where I'm going to make my Shechinah dwell. As it says, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe b'midbar Sinai. So, I thought this is a really interesting Torah, but then I came across a Torah from the Kotzker Rebbe, who was like a major disciple of the Rebbe Rabbinim. And Kedarki B'Kodesh, the way the Kotzker does things, you know, it's always, you have to, it happens so fast, if you weren't looking carefully, you missed it, right? So he actually says a Torah on the same Medrash. He doesn't refer to the Chiddush of his Rebbe at all, which is pretty normal. But then he takes this whole Torah into a new understanding, a much, much deeper understanding. He brings the Medrash of the God saying, you know, where are my people? And the people saying, you know, we're not with you anymore. And God saying, well, I wish I could go to the wilderness and just abandon you before you abandon me. And then he talks about the wilderness and how marvelous the wilderness is. And then the Medrash brings the story of the Arab, the Ishmael, the Nos Ishmael, and he comes to the different Medinois, and they run away, till he comes to the Midbar. And he says, okay, here. So, the Kotzker Rebbe says, what's the definition of Midbar? So he brings two Midrashim. One, the Medrash says, the Torah is given three ways in fire, in water, and in the wilderness. Ba'esh b'mayim b'midbar. Esh, it's written v'har Sinai oshan kulay. The whole mountain was burning with fire. And then v'ovim, talking about water, not v'mayim, the clouds were dripping with water. And midbar, as it says, v'edab shem Moshe b'midbar, God spoke to Moshe in the midbar. So, why these three things? So the Midrash says, because just as fire is free, and water is free, and the wilderness is free, so the Torah is free. Right? Nobody can charge you for making a fire. Nobody has like a patent on fire making or on water catching or on the wilderness. The wilderness is by definition free. And then there's another Midrash. The Midrash says, why does God speak to Moshe in the wilderness? Because the wilderness is hefker, ungoverned. And you can't acquire the Torah unless you make yourself hefker, ungoverned. So the Kotzke says, we see from here that midbar, wilderness, means two things: free and ungoverned, unowned. Now, he also mentions that the midbar is the Torah. The wilderness refers to the Torah, which is the chiddush of his Rebbe. That God says, I'm not going to be at the sea, I'm not going to dwell in the sea, I'm not going to dwell in the mountain, I'm going to dwell in the wilderness. The wilderness refers to the Torah itself. But now, the Kotzke says like this. What does it mean that the Torah is a wilderness? Well, there are two meanings to wilderness. One meaning of wilderness is chinam, like fire and water. It's free. So the Kotzke says, you know what that means? What does it mean, free? Why is this an essence? Why is this an essential property of the wilderness? Freedom. What does it mean? So he says, it doesn't mean it's freely available to you. That's not the meaning of free. Free means it's free of you. You can use fire. You can have fire. But you can't make fire into something else. It's fire. You can have water. You can drink water. You can use water. But it remains water. You can be in the wilderness. You can live in the wilderness. You could have the wilderness. But it's by definition wilderness. If you plow it and sow it and build in it or whatever, it's not wilderness. So you cannot learn the Torah, you can't acquire the Torah, you can't have the Torah unless you know that you can't change it, you can't cultivate it. You can't make the Torah into some civilized book of laws. You can't make the Torah into what it's not. The Torah is wild. The Torah is free. It's free of you. If you come to the Torah insisting you're going to make sense of it, you're going to make order of it, you're going to make it into something that, you know, you can put in a box, in a book, in a something or other, you're not ready for the Torah. The Torah is a midbar. It's a wilderness. It's wild. And unless you recognize and honor the wildness of the Torah, you're not ready for it. It's not. You're never going to get it. Because the Torah that's wild, that's where God is, not the Torah of a Manhattan. You know, it's the Torah of a desert, and the Shekhinah dwells there in the person who makes himself like the midbar. person has to realize that the Torah is inside him, he is inside the Torah, and is completely free. It's not there to be cultivated. It's not there to be turned into something civilized, something presentable. The Kotzke is saying an amazing thing about the Torah. And of course, you could say that this reflects the Kotzke's own personality, which was wild and ungovernable and free and unfettered and uncivilized and so forth. But really, he's basing his Torah on the Torah of his Rebbe, the Rebbe Rabbinim, who was all of those things. And yet he's telling us something that without it you can't even begin to approach the Torah. You have to know that you can't impose your order on the Torah. That's one thing. It's chinam, it's free. You have to understand the Torah is going to stay free. You can't domesticate it. It's wild. The other thing, he says, that we learn from the Medrash is that it's hefker. What does that mean? He says, you can't approach the Torah thinking to yourself, I'm going to go in there, and if I need something, you know, I'll go shopping. Right? You go into a city, you know, if you run out of food, you'll stop in one of the supermarkets and get something. You need somewhere to lie down. You need directions. You'll stop somebody and you'll ask them for directions. It says if you approach the Torah that way, that you're going to enter it in the understanding that somebody's going to help you, you're not ready for it. Don't go in there at all. The Torah is a wilderness. Don't go into the wilderness unless you have survival skills, unless you know that you're not going to meet anybody there who's going to help you come back out when you get lost. You're not ready for the Torah if you think that you're going to have a map through it. If you're coming to the Gemara and you're expecting that Rashi is going to solve your problems, or Tosis is going to solve your problems, or Art Scroll is going to solve, you're not ready. Then whatever it is you're learning, it's not Torah. So another amazing insight he's giving us here, right? That Torah is free, and it's also dangerous. It's hefker. It's ownerless. It's anarchistic. There's nobody in charge. And don't expect that if you get lost, somebody's going to say, oh, hi, here we are, you know, and send in a helicopter to bring you back out. You walked into it, it's Death Valley. If you don't know how to walk through, you don't know how to carry enough water or find water when you're there, or find food or live off the land, then it's not for you. So these are the two aspects of Midbar. And if we bring it back to the Torah, the Pshischa of the Rebbe Rabbinim, what it means is that you can only find God in the Torah in those places that are wild and that there's no map. And you can only find God in the Torah in those places where you don't try to impose your order. I think it's a Gewalt Torah. It's an unbelievable Torah. The next Torah was from Parshas Nosei, which in Eretz Yisrael they read on Shabbos. We don't. We read the following Shabbos. So, in Parshas Nosei, we have the Birchas Koyanim. Yevarechecho Hashem v'yishmerecho. Yora Hashem ponav elecho v'chuneko. Yisa Hashem ponav elecho v'yosim lecho sholem. So, Yevarechecho Hashem v'yishmerecho, we can understand. God will bless you and guard you. And the Rebbe Rabbinim says, you know, he brings a Medrash. He says, you know, if a king gives his courtier, he calls him, he says, I want to give you a gift, and he gives him like a big chest full of jewels, right? And then the guy goes home. On the way, he gets robbed, he gets mugged, and they take his jewels. So he says, you see, Yivarechecho doesn't mean Yishmerecho, right? In fact, the king, by giving a blessing to his favorite, he caused him all this danger, right? Whereas, when God gives a blessing, the blessing itself is the shmira, right? Yo er Hashem ponav elecho v'chineko, God will cause his face to shine on you and give you grace. Chen. And then, the final one is Yisro Hashem ponav elecho, God will favor you with his face. V'yosem lechoshanim, and give you peace. So the Gemara asks, what does it mean, Yiso Hashem ponav elecha, God will favor you? We have a pasuk that says, lo yiso ponim v'lo yikach shoicha, that God doesn't have favorites and God doesn't accept bribes. So how can the Torah promise us that God will favor you when we have a beferish pasuk in the Torah that says God doesn't have favorites? So the Gemara answers, Ketzad kusavti b'Torah. God says, look what I wrote in the Torah. I said, v'yochaltu v'sovotu v'erachtus Hashem lekecha. You should eat, you should be full, you should be satisfied, and you should bench, you should bless God. Right? So what happens if you eat and you're not satisfied? Then you don't have to bless God, right? However, God says, look what the Eden do. They don't have enough. They have a kibetza, a kezias, right? They have something the size of an olive, something the size of an egg, and they eat it. They say, oh, I need to bench. Oh, are you satisfied? Did you eat enough? What's that got to do with it? The halacha says that if I eat a kezias, if I eat a kibetza, then I need to bench. So God says, you see, the Eden, they play favorites with me. They favor me, even though I didn't give them to satisfaction to eat. Nevertheless, they bench me. Nu, isn't it right that I should treat them with favor? Yisro Hashem ponav elecha, so God will favor you. So the Rebbe Rabbinim says here, I don't understand what this Medrash is teaching us. What does it really mean? What does it really, really mean? Favoritism? When we bench and we haven't eaten enough, that's favoritism? We're favoring God? Where's the favoritism? It's a nice drash, right? Like, you know, we don't stick to the letter of the law. We don't eat until satisfaction and bench. That we have, we decide, all right, I've eaten enough the size of an olive already, I'm going to bench. But how does that really work? So he says, imagine I give you $5. Right? I give you a gift of $5. Well, you know, you have a mortgage to pay, you have life insurance and this insurance and car insurance and health insurance. You know, $5, very nice, but it's hardly going to change my life. Really not going to change my life. Thank you. Just imagine I get a phone call from Barack Obama in the White House, and he says, Heshi, I want to give you some money. I want to give you $5. I would definitely go to Washington for it. Who wouldn't, right? Barack Obama, the president of the country, the United States, wants to give me something. It's the same $5 that you wanted to give me that I said thank you, but no thank you, you know? Because I say, well, look who it's coming from, right? Look at the symbolic significance of the president of the United States or the king of the world giving me $5, then the thing has chashivas, it has value far beyond its intrinsic, its real value. It has all kinds of values that are attached to it because of the giver, not because of the receiver. If you give me $5, then its value is only what I can do with it. When I'm given something by a very important person, then its value is that of the very important person. So the Rebbe Rabbinim says, this is what it means here. This is what it means here in the Medrash. When we look at the food that we're being given, when we look at life and what life is giving us, even though what we get is meager, we say to ourselves, yeah, but look who's giving it. We have an appreciation and we look through our life for all the Chasdei Hashem. And we say, look, you know, is this is a gift from God. And you know, we go to amazing lengths to look through our life for those things, for those places where we can see the hand of God. And when we see the hand of God and we say, Mamash, you see this miracle that God did for me. What was it? A refuah shleima. So I look inside the refuah shleima, I look inside the parnosa, I look inside the shidduch, I look inside my life, and I say, you know what? It's satisfying, and it's God-given. And I have an appreciation of it, even though my parnosa is shver, and my gezint is shver, right? Even though the things are not munificent, right? Even though it's not full of abundance, even though it's nishtozi ay ay ay, nevertheless, I have an appreciation of it, and I say it's a gift from God. That's the meaning of ad kebzayis va'ad kebetz. God says, look, the Yidden, they look through their lives for the brocha that I give them, and they celebrate it, and they make a big thing out of it, even though it's not so great. It's not so satisfying, this parnosa. This health situation is nishta zugiva, but you know something? I was saved from death, and this... Ah, so God says, no. If that's the case, why shouldn't I favor them when they worship me? And somebody comes and says, yeah, but was that real worship? Was that there? You know, he was standing there davening and he was thinking of the rent that he needs to pay. And that was Shemayna Esra for you? And God says, well, you know, the parnosa that I gave him wasn't so I either. And he thanks me for it again and again and again. No, so I'm going to treat his avoider as though it has this gewalt grosse chashivas. And the Rebbe Rabbunim says, Zeh, this is the meaning, Yisro Hashem Pabelech, God will favor you, v'havein, and understand, ki omoiku, because it's very deep. So I started to think about what does the Rebbe Rabbinim mean by this final statement. Understand it because it's very deep. What's so deep about this? So I was thinking like this. What happens when we look through our life at the things that really hurt? You know, I hear people who went through World War II, you know, the lagers, the camps, the concentration camps. And they can find in the concentration camps miracles. Chasdei Hashem. I ask you, is anything more absurd than saying, I find in the camps Chasdei Hashem? I was talking this week on Shabbos to somebody in Shiel, and he was telling me that for the last week before the liberation of Bergen-Belsen, he and his friends, they were eating people. And he showed me his teeth where he'd worn them down on the shin bone that he'd been trying to get some marrow out of. Chasdei Hashem, right? Chasdei Hashem. And he talks about Chasdei Hashem, the miracles. So the Rebbe Rabbinim says, you know, if I look through my life, not at the good things, if I look at my life through at the bad things, and I look for God in those things, right? If I think to myself, I am being punished, and then I look through that punishment and I see, but you know something? The punishment fits my crime. I can see that I'm being punished midah keneged midah, right? Measure for measure. I look and I do tzidkat din. I look at the destruction that's happening around me and I say, ah, but you see, I see God in it. The Rebbe Rabbeinu says, you know what then God does? He takes your averos, he takes the destruction you do. And God says, I see me in it. I see this person's avoider. I see how in this person, what as everybody else looking at it, and they can see an avera, they can see something sinful. But you know what? I'm looking inside deeper, and I'm finding the godliness in it. That's the Yisro Hashem Ponav Elecha. This is why the Rebbe Rabbeinim says this is very deep, and he doesn't explain why it's deep. Because if you take his insight, right, that we look through our lives and we find the chasodim, even though they're not so great, and then we take that, and then we go further, and then we look into the parts of our life which are really dark and nightmarish, and we find God in there, and we say, you see, I'm in the hands of God here. Then God does the same for us, even in those areas of our life which are dark, and says, you see, I can find myself here. There's some mitzvah going on here.